And we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. And we're going to read from the 12th verse down through the end of the chapter. We have covered part of that, say, of the most of the sixth vial, but we'll continue in a little review today with that, and then on to the seventh vial. This is at the close of the 7 years of tribulation. And so please, as we look, Revelation chapter 16, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And that great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of the heavens. Every stone weighed the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and meet together. You have given us this wonderful family to come and enjoy your word together. But this word is not wonderful words to hear, because it's such a sad day that anyone would refuse you as their Savior. They would not come by faith to you and choose to go through this time. And Father, we know by the conditions of the world today that everything is in place for your return. And when you return and take the church out, why then, dear Father, this time, this 7 years of great tribulation will begin and last again for 7 years. And we're to the close of that time now, when those that refuse, that justice will come and the proper punishment will be poured out. Father, please, again I ask that no one be here that would miss the opportunity of that free gift of salvation. They would trust in you as their Savior today and not go through this time. Again, thank you, Father, for the beautiful day. Speak to all of our hearts now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We've just started with in reading today, with the sixth vial being poured out. And as we've been through each one of these vials, each one is the, again, at the end of the tribulation period. And we're in the church age at this time right now. The next event that's going to take place will be the rapture of the church. The church will be taken out, and the church is not Parkview Bible Church, but I hope everyone that is here knows the Lord Jesus, but it is the church, and the church is the one that it is each and every person that has come by faith to Jesus Christ becomes a member of God's church. And no matter where you're sitting or where you're found that day that the rapture takes place, if you're born again, as John chapter 3 tells us, you will be taken from here and taken home to a 7 year feast. The Supper of the Lamb is what it's called. And for 7 years, we're going to enjoy that time of fellowship. At the same time, down here on earth, there's something that the most horrible that's going to happen. The Antichrist, those that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two times upon this earth that something takes place, and at the rapture of the church, when the tribulation begins, it will be the first and only time that upon this earth there is not one born again believer. Not one. You think things are wicked now. You wait till the time that the church is gone, and the church is every believer. The Holy Spirit comes to live within our hearts, and at that time when the Spirit leaves, can you imagine the level of crime and of wickedness that will begin? And the Antichrist will come and bring in an appearance of peace for the first 3.5 years. But then halfway through this 7-year period, then he will begin to show his true colors. And here we are at the end, the close of that, and this last vial is about to be poured out. But there's a couple of things that take place, because the world, and you know it, I know it, the world itself hates God. The world itself hates Christians. The world itself hates Jews, God's chosen people. And so with that in mind, God is using that hatred. And at the close of this 7-year period, he will draw in all the armies and all the kings of all the world into one small area coming down against Jerusalem. And one thing that he does to accomplish that is to dry up the Euphrates River, because many of these armies are going to come from that direction and come through that area. Millions of foot soldiers will be on the ground when this takes place. And they will have such a vengeance because they will desire to finally, we're going to read some scripture verses to confirm this back in Psalms, but finally will the God and the anointed one, the scripture calls it, which is Christ, will be finally eliminated from the earth. That's their purpose. And they know that they have to destroy Israel to accomplish that. And so they're coming all with this hatred to do this. Now, you know, if you read anything, the newspapers, listen to any news, that the love for the nation of Israel is continuing to go backwards. It's the hatred for Israel is increasing, and the love for Israel is disappearing. And that's just a sign of the times. Again, everything is in place for this, for the church, for the believers to be taken away from here. Not only is the Euphrates River dried up so they can pass through, also the devil does something here. He brings out 3 demons. One comes from the dragon, one comes from the beast, and one comes from the false prophet. And these demons go out to deceive and to stir up and to bring all the kings of the world together. If the globe that we have downstairs, you take the globe, and it's about this size. And with that size, to show you how the world hates God, it is the size of a lead pencil. That's the size of the nation of Israel. Now, why would something so tiny bother anybody? They have no oil. They have nothing. They have nothing. So why is there always in the paper every day wars and fightings and battles going on for somebody so tiny? And the next question is, why can't they eliminate them? Why can't they eliminate something that is the size on that globe, the size of a lead pencil, just the size of the lead, not even the eraser end? This whole world. And so, if you don't believe the Word of God, all you have to do is think about that little nation of Israel that all through time they have tried to destroy Israel, and they can't. That in itself brings the Word of God to truth. it brings it to truth. These spirits, these demons, they go out. Paul warns about them in 1 Timothy chapter 4 about the evil and seducing spirits, and that's what's coming here. And the purpose of their duty of the day is going to be working miracles, and they're to bring forth again all these kings unto this one region, the one area. Can you imagine that all the worlds, all the armies at this time will come up on that little tiny, tiny country called Israel? And we find here that this name is, they have a name for what's going to happen here, and that name is Armageddon. It's also known as the Mount of Slaughter, because there have been many wars fought in this area. I want to turn now to Psalms chapter 2, if you would with me, please, because this is not something that you just find in the book of Revelation. There is scripture after scripture through the Old Testament, and with the radio programs, I had a man ask a few years ago, and we have been on Carthage for 14, 15, 16 years, and he asked, he said, do you ever teach out of the New Testament? Well, we had taught 3 years in Genesis, 3 years in Exodus, and then on through Numbers and into Joshua. And so, you know, we're up 9, 10 years and always been the Old Testament. Well, if you don't study the Old Testament, if you don't know the Old Testament, the New Testament isn't going to come together for you. And so we need to know the Old Testament. And as we look now at Psalm chapter 2, and we're going to read the first four verses. And just listen carefully here. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against God, against the Lord, and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision or contempt. Now, just a few minutes back there in Psalms, the heathen is going to rage, and the people imagine vain things. And that first verse connects with the fourth verse, because for anyone to think that you can go against God and win, it is an empty thought, and that's what that is. It's an empty thought to think anyone can do that. And then if you'll notice in verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, the Lord there is God the Father, and the anointed is in the Hebrew would be Messiah, but in the Greek is Christo or Christo, and then in the English that brings Christ. And so we have God the Father and the Son of God. And you see the rulers of the earth, the kings and the rulers take counsel because they want to eliminate God the Father and God the Son. And you know what? They think they can. That's their vain thinking. They think they can. And you look at the world today and you see the things that you see. And the next verse comes right to today. Let us break the bands asunder and cast away their cords. What's been taken out of the schools? What's been taken out of our courthouses? The Ten Commandments. They're trying to break those bands. They're trying to destroy the families today. And so if they can accomplish that and many other things, but they have set out to break the bands asunder and cast away the cords from us. In other words, the tie that God knows for us to enjoy life, and to have salvation. They are trying to break all of those away. And that's what will happen during this very end of the tribulation period. And David writes this here in Psalms. And so, and then in the end, this word laugh is not in something humorous. It is something that is so ridiculous to think that you can do that, for man to think that. But you folks probably know people that don't. We had someone that attended here several years ago for a period of time, and he was great in math and in geometry and trigonometry, and he said that he only had one step of the formula left, and he figured out how God created the earth. Now, to have such a thought, to think that our little tiny minds in relationship to who God is and His mighty strength and His perfection, that we could do such a thing, figure it out. Well, God's going to judge, and it's going to be perfect, but I wanted you to see the condition of the people during this time, and I thought that scripture in Psalms chapter 2 showed us very well. Again, for all this to be accomplished, the Euphrates River will be dried up. That is the sixth vial as it comes. And he makes a statement here in the 15th verse that is, this is kind of where we stopped last week. And so, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Kind of a strange announcement in the middle of all this judgment that's coming and being poured out. I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. These words are words that are similar to the words that are spoken when the church is raptured. You know, be watching, be ready, because he could come and come any day. But that took place 7 years before. During the reign of the Antichrist, not everybody bowed down to the Antichrist. Not everyone took the mark of the beast. And you know, in previous studies, we've looked at it and found that if you took the mark of the beast, it's over. There is no return. There's no return. And, you know, almost everybody knows the 666, you know, and they see that number somewhere and it just terrifies them. It doesn't matter today. You can have it any place, anywhere. It can be in, you know, the, we had, was born on the sixth day of the sixth month, and of the, what was the last part of it? In 66, 6 days, 6 months, in 66. And when I preached that, and she was a little concerned. But it has no bearing because we're not in this period, this tribulation period. And so it doesn't matter. And what does matter is that you know Jesus as your Savior. Most that refused the mark of the beast, to bow down and worship to the beast, they were put to death almost immediately. But prior to the pouring out of this seventh vial, something's going to happen. These faithful few that were not put to death, Jesus comes to get. We're not sure where they're taken, but before this great battle, the Battle of Armageddon that you hear all the time, before that time comes, some supernatural way, God's going to come, and he's going to take those that were not put to death out of the picture. And nothing is really changed because back in Noah's day, prior to the flood, prior to one drop of rain falling, and if you're familiar with the Word of God, you'll realize that it never rained before the flood. It had never rained. And not only was there rain from the sky, but the ground opened up and flooded the earth, every inch of the earth. There was not one, it wasn't a partial flood, it was a worldwide flood. Every mountain was covered. But before that started, before one drop of rain, God put Noah and his family and all that he wanted to save into the ark, and the Lord shut him in, Genesis chapter 7, verse 16 tells us. Noah didn't decide when judgment was coming, God did. God's going to decide when judgment comes this time. Man doesn't have that decision. It's also with Sodom and Gomorrah. You have the cities of the valley, and when those were destroyed, and Abraham had this discussion with the pre-incarnate Christ and two angels at a tent door, and they sat there and they visited back and forth, and Jesus shared with Abraham what was going to happen, and he said, well, how be it if there would be 50 righteous in the valley, would you save it? Would you not destroy it? And he said, yes. Well, then Abraham got to figuring and thought maybe that was figures a little high. And so he went 40 and 30 and 20, and he got to 10. And he thought, surely. And boy, when he was getting down there, God, please don't hold this against me. But how about if there's 10? Well, God said, yeah. If there's 10 righteous, you talk about God's mercy. In such a wicked city, if there would have been 10 righteous people, God wouldn't have destroyed it. But there wasn't. There wasn't. But even under those conditions, God sent in his angels, and he brought out Lot and his two daughters, the only ones that were saved before judgment come. And so you see each time, and in Genesis 19:22, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither, till you come to me. I cannot do anything. Judgment will not come until the saints are gone. So is the way with the bride, with the church. The tribulation could not start until the church is raptured, till the church is gone. And so we have picture after picture of the judgment coming upon this earth in Noah's case, complete. In Sodom and Gomorrah, partially, in just certain regions. But before the tribulation will begin, there will be the rapture of the church, because we will not have to face this time. And so it will be at this time, at the close of the tribulation. To be saved during this time, again, is going to mean immediate death. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you can't work, you can't eat, you can't own a house, you can't drive, you can't do anything unless you take the mark of the beast during this period of time. And so for one to wait and be saved during that time is a bad decision. But I believe that it's worse than that, because I think if you have heard the gospel here and now before the church is raptured, I don't believe that you're going to have an opportunity to even be saved during that time. And so then you'll have to face that time alone without any comfort of eternal life or God's help. So before God thrusts this sharp sickle to come and to reap the earth, he will remove them. Armageddon remembers Mount of Slaughter. It also is the Mount of Megiddo. It is in the plain of Jezreel. It's a real place. This great valley that runs through the middle of the Holy Land from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River is about 200 miles long, 10 miles wide. This place of slaughter, again, is not the first time that this has happened. In Judges 5:19, the kings came and fought there. 2 Chronicles 35:22 tells us that Josiah came and fought in the valley of Megiddo. This sixth vial brings all the kings and all the kingdoms together to this one area. We are ready for this last vial to be poured out. What a sight to have all the armies, millions of soldiers gathered in this one region for one purpose. That's to eliminate Israel and to once and for all wipe God and His Son away from all history. You know, we do that today. We don't change history. We just remove parts. And that way it sounds like they want it to sound like. And that's what they're doing today. We weren't taught history in school. Most folks aren't taught the Word of God today. They get little sermonettes, and as they used to say, that just makes a Christianette. And we want somebody that's born again, that's growing. What a sight. What a place it's going to be. From when David had stated what was to be done, 3,000 years have passed. 3,000 years since King David was here and made that statement. So now the seventh angel pours out his vial into the air. The 17th verse tells us in Revelation 16. And there was a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done. It is done." Now, the words that immediately probably come to your ears is the words, "It is finished." Because that's the words that Jesus said upon the cross. When he had taken yours and my sin away and died on the cross of Calvary to live. Oh, what a wonderful and glorious day. If Jesus had not went to the cross of Calvary, there'd be no life. Be no life for anyone. No life. He cried, "It is finished." Redemption of the soul. A great sacrifice was offered. Our Lord and Savior offered to us salvation as a free gift. But here it said it's done. And so the judgment of the earth is almost finished. As this seventh vial is poured out, it'll come to an end. Christ is about to rid the earth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. As we have looked at the contents of this little book now for several weeks, we are finally coming to the close, to the completion of this little sealed book. Remember, the only one that could open it was the Lord Jesus. He's the only one that could open it. He is our Savior. He has every right to be our judge if we refuse not to come to Jesus. Every detail has been carried out. This whole creation that has been groaning and moaning all these years, ever since sin had come into the world, is about to go away. And for the first time here upon earth, we'll be back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. He pours it out into the air. Never in history will there be such havoc in the air and then it comes to earth. And I don't know if you've been around, I sure have through the years, folks that have epilepsy and they'll have a seizure and they'll go into convulsions. And if you ever have witnessed that, it's a jerking uncontrollably, and that's the description that is given of the condition that the earth is going to be in. The earth will go into convulsions. It will just jerk and jerk, and the mountains will fall, and we can't imagine what's going to happen to this earth when this seventh vial is poured out. Never in history will it be like that. This 18th verse says, "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth." So mighty an earthquake and so great. We have thunders, lightnings, and earthquakes. Does the thunder scare you, startle you a little bit? What do you know when thunder is there and lightning is there? You see the flash of light and you hear the kaboom just that quick. You know it was close when you smell the sulfur. The power and the strength that God is going to pour down upon this earth and upon those that are here upon earth. And again, when is this going to happen? It is when all the armies of all the world is going to converge upon Israel. They're all going to be in one location. And God is going to destroy all the enemies of Christ. You know, today we hear God's love. I mean, he loves us. He wouldn't do anything like this. Well, the same folks that read about heaven in the Word of God, the book tells a whole lot more about hell than it does heaven. So if there's a heaven, there's got to be a hell. And if there's a hell, there's a devil. And there's a place where lost souls are going to spend eternity. And we can live a few years. And we look back in our life, and I think of my grandfather, my grandmother. And I looked at them when they died, and I was 12 years old at the time. And they looked old. They looked old. They were the same age that I am today. They were 57. They looked old. You wonder what your grandchildren think when they when they look at you. I probably look old. But you know, when 57 years, it's the only measurement I have of time. Seems like a long time. But that's nothing. God calls our life here the same as a vapor in relationship to eternity. Eternity. And when this seventh vial is poured out, it's coming to a close. And we're going to have all the convulsions, everything that's taking place, the great chaos that's going to be up on this earth at this time. And we have many verses to read, and we're out of time, and I don't want to rush through this because there are verses that men cry to the rocks and to the mountains to fall upon them. There are when God's presence is there, they see and they fear Him, but they will not repent. They won't turn. How many times have we been through that in the last, as the vials are poured out and they heard the word, but they will not turn. They blaspheme God. They blaspheme God. And so please understand that there is an eternity, and there's a place where everyone is going to spend eternity, either in heaven or in the lake of fire, in the presence of God or in the absence of God. And the absence of God will be with the beast and his prophets and the devil. All them will be there. And you're going to spend eternity in the gnashing of teeth and the continual heat and fire, a total darkness, we are told. And I've heard folks say, well, if that's the case, I'm going to have a lot of friends there. Something else you're going to have. You're going to be alone. Totally alone. Yes, there's going to be a lot of people there. But you won't know it. You won't know it. And so, please, God made it so simple. It doesn't take church membership. It doesn't take money. It just takes faith that He gives you to ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. It's that simple. It's that simple. I was saved 1975, 35 years ago. 35 years ago. My life hadn't been the same. 35 years. Church. Active in church. Never gave heaven or hell much thought. But then the gospel was brought to me. And I trusted in Jesus as my Savior. How do I know that's right and it's true? Because He lives in my heart. I know it. And any believer does. We'll continue with this seventh vial next week. And so please that you don't miss, as this fierceness is of God's wrath is poured out. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank You today that we can come, and I just praise You for the opportunity to proclaim Your word. It's just wonderful, Father, how that You take us away as believers before the tribulation starts. You put Noah in the ark. You took Lot out of the wicked city of Sodom. You're going to take these few saints that have survived, and you're going to bring them away. They're coming to attack a city that by the time they get there, it's going to be empty, because you're going to take these believers away. And for them to think and desire to fight God and to think that they could win, what a vain thought. But a thought that is all as equal as vain is to think that we're good enough to not go to hell. We're good enough to get to heaven just on our own works. Father, that's not true at all, and your word tells us so clearly. It's by faith in Your Son, the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross to save us, and we need to trust in that and have His personal relationship and ask You into our hearts. So please today, dear Father, that all here trust in You, know You as their Savior, that they don't have to face this awful time. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.